Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more, up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover SelfDefenseFund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This week, we continue my live interview on the Patrick Dino Ryan Show, where an open-minded interviewer allows me to speak frankly to his audience. When we ended our program last week, we were discussing how many threads of the Jews and the establishment's agenda gather together by having the common goal of reducing the number of white children being born. We pick up that interview now. Listen.
One of the other things, you made a number of great points in this piece, and when we talk about forced segregation or we talk about, you know, code words like diversity and multiculturalism and so on and so forth, you made the point of saying, Kevin, that this wasn't by accident. This didn't happen by happenstance. This was something that was manufactured, that was well orchestrated, that was a thought out plan to bring this country to where it is right now, crippled and to its knees.
Yes, I don't think that anything happens in politics that isn't part of some sort of agenda. Now, of course, there are surprises. I mean, earthquakes happen. And leaders in foreign countries can do something that suddenly changes a situation. I don't mean all of that is planned by our elite necessarily. But things like opening our borders, keeping our borders open, flooding our country with millions of non-white invaders, things like the promotion of homosexuality, the promotion of childlessness among heterosexuals, the promotion of contraception, the promotion of convenience abortion, the promotion of interracial sex and interracial marriage. I think all of these are part and parcel of a plan to replace white Americans with others.
The most important, one of the most crucial paragraphs that you wrote in this story, I'd like to read it and then have you again add some more to it. I thought this was, I mean, you couldn't be more dead on balls accurate with what you wrote. This is crucial. You wrote, white people have developed, and this is a big, big issue. It's a big problem, folks. You know, I've spoken about this before because you don't want to be labeled. You don't want somebody to cast an aspersion against you. You don't want somebody to call you a racist. And, you know, you've been propagated by that mind-altering box in your living rooms to think a certain way and act and speak a certain way and, you know, hitch your wagon to that one-size-fits-all value system out there that I'll have nothing to do with. But Kevin wrote the following: white people have developed a pathological reluctance to publicly identify themselves as white people or to assert or even admit that we whites have common interests. This kind of psychological sickness is common in conquered peoples. White people are afraid to state that whites are threatened as a race, even when the threat is obvious, such as with the mestizo invasion. So, for example, when some whites have the courage to oppose that invasion, they'll often couch their opposition in terms of overcrowding or the failure of new immigrants to learn English or the immigration being too fast and too much to allow for assimilation or some other such conservative platitudes. Hell, writes Kevin, assimilation is exactly what we don't want. Assimilation leads to crossbreeding, and crossbreeding equals death for us. These conservatives, so-called conservatives, refuse to come out and say that mestizo immigration threatens the survival of the white race and white civilization. These conservatives refuse to say that non-whites cannot be assimilated into our population without altering what we are, without effectively killing us, even if they want to do, because the biological differences between us are too great. And these cowards who refuse to speak the truth on race suppose that such weak-kneed bowing and scraping before the Jewish race-mixing agenda can somehow stop the brown tide from our southern marches. White America has truly become the nation which dares not speak its name. Kevin, that was brilliant. I mean, that beyond brilliant.
Well, thank you. I wrote it in a passionate way because I feel passionately about it. I mean, that's why I do what I do. I mean, I've made a lot of sacrifices to do what I do, and that's why I joined the National Alliance, and I joined it way back in 1982. And we are trying to build a community, not just a community, that surrounds an online magazine like National Vanguard, although that's very important too, but an actual real world community where people work together, where people have racially conscious colleagues, workmates who are working, some of them full time, to promote this community, and we want to grow that community. We've been solemnizing marriages. We've been having children. Those marriages have produced children. Two of those children are my own. We have been building a library and research center and a new office complex for the National Alliance down in Tennessee. And, that's really important to me. And I encourage other white people to help us, because by helping us, you can give meaning and purpose to your life and give the future generations of our people a chance. We need to do something. These conservatives are going to twiddle their thumbs and complain about tax rates and English only signs, until we're all dead, until we're all brown. I mean, it's already happening. They're tearing down our statues. They're renaming our libraries and our schools. They're rewriting our history books. We're halfway there. We're halfway to our race's death in North America, and we've got to organize.
I talked about a lot in the first hour about something that caught my eye. And I didn't even know it was around, Kevin, until I saw the story out of the Los Angeles Times. Something called the Black News Channel is shutting down. They launched in early 2020. They were supposed to be, their objective was to be a voice for people of color. And as you know, during 2020, it was the summer of St. George. And so they looked for an investor. It turned out to be Shad Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. He plumped down $50 million of seed money to start this thing. I guess they thought they could strike when the iron was hot, when, you know, we had this unprecedented wave of black support from virtually every sector across this country. And it ended up failing. Their last telecast is going to be this coming Friday. And so I talked about this at length and in the first hour. And I also said that, and you know this, I'm telling you nothing you don't know, and a lot of our audience doesn't already know. Let me back up. I can't define America. If somebody says to me, well, what is America? I'm at a loss to explain to them with specificity what America is. I don't know what it is. It's a dead carcass of a land. I know that, and I know the reasons behind it. But if you comparatively ask me, well, explain to me what Japan is. Explain to me what China is. Explain to me what Brazil or Mexico is. I could give concise answers in terms of the characteristics, the makeup, and the features of each of those countries, and probably a whole lot more. But when it comes to America, I don't know what the hell it is, okay? But with that said, this black news channel goes out of service, and I made note that, look, blacks have all kinds of different groups and organizations and a black television channel which is going out of operation. They've got lobby groups and caucuses and so on and so forth. And so too do Hispanics and Asians and Jews and so on and so forth. And I have no problem with any of that, as long as I am given a reciprocal green light to want to have similar things for my people, particularly during the most crucial time in this country's history when my people, our people, are under the most vigorous attack ever since the inception of this country. And I said, well, you know what? What about a white news channel? What about a white congressional caucus? What about a National Association for the Advancement of White People, a white poverty law center, things like that? And the problem is that while guys like you and me, and I don't know if you'll even agree with me that these people should be able to do these things, I think they should be able to do these things, and I don't care. Again, as long as they reciprocate and allow me, you, and all of us to be able to form our own groups, I don't give a rat's ass. What are your feelings on that?
Well, I don't think we should have to ask for permission, first of all. It's almost like we have to ask for permission. Who are we asking this permission from? I mean, I think we're basically asking it from the Jewish overlords who run the corporations, run the banks, and basically run, because they run the media, they also control the government. We're asking their permission. Well, hell no, they're never going to give their permission. They apparently do give their permission for all of these black groups, as long as the blacks don't stray too far from the Jewish agenda, of course, and other groups, mestizo groups, etc., they have the green light. We don't have the green light because why? Because we're the smartest ones who have a potential for competing with them and setting up our own power structure and freeing ourselves, and they worry a lot about that. So they've got to keep their thumb down on us. Now, I'll go even further than you, though. I will say, not only is it okay for the blacks and the mestizos to have these groups, and absolutely necessary for whites to have groups that stand up for our interests. We have one now, the National Alliance, but they're fighting against us every step of the way. But not only is it okay for every race to have these organizations that stand up for their own interests, but they should have their own countries too. Isn't that the way that nature made it, or if you prefer to say it, God made it, that countries are what a people create to serve their own interests, a group of people who are of the same ethnos, of the same blood, and the same history, and the same culture? They form a country. That's natural. That's nature. And if you are a people without a country, without territory and resources to support yourself, and without a military to protect yourself, and without a government, diplomats to stick up for your interests, wherever those interests may be in the world, you're dead in the water. You're going to die. That's what's happened to the Kurds, a people in the Middle East who don't have a country. Their territory is divided up between Turkey and Iran and a couple other countries, and they're a persecuted small minority. Their fate is not in their hands anymore. They don't have a government to stick up for them. They don't have a military. And white people are putting ourselves in exactly that position, the position of the Kurds, a people without a state, a people without a government. So yeah, let's have our organizations. That's why I'm a member of the National Alliance. But let's work someday for the time when we can have our own countries again that have been stolen from us.
Well, a lot of these black athletes and entertainers and the actors and actresses, they love to talk about, you know, where it all started, the motherland, whether that's, you know, any one of a number of different countries that are a part of Africa or so on and so forth. And the what boggles my mind is that it has never been to the advantage of any singular person in this country to be black than at this time right now. The upward mobility of black Americans in all sectors of industry and business has risen to proportions that have never been at the levels of height that they're at today. And yet, all we continue to hear is one complaint after another and the continued BS about white supremacy and white fragility and white privilege and so on and so forth. But I never see these people who have made, in some cases, a small fortune in terms of what they do and how they do it with whatever occupation, field, or sector of industry that they're involved with. I never see these people pack their stuff up, put it on a boat or an airplane, and fly back across to the motherland where I'm led to believe it's the land of milk and honey for them. No, they never do that. They stay here. They continue to make their money. White America continues to patronize them and glorify them and deify them, all while they continue to defecate on the people of this country, mostly white people of this country. It's the goof of all time, man. It really is.
Yes, it's a bizarre, parasitic relationship that, to be fair to them, they didn't create it. The Jews created it through the Jewish instigated civil rights movement and the Jewish instigated ideas of one man, one vote, equality, and all the rest of it. But they're taking advantage of the situation. They've developed this this parasitic relationship on America. I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it's going to lead to any kind of self-determination for blacks any more than it's leading to self-determination for whites. I think the goal of the New World Order boys is to miscegenate us all into an undifferentiated mass of people who don't have a history, who don't have a singular history, who don't feel they're a unique people, and who are just subservient workers in the beehive that the controllers have set up. And that's why they hate white people, because white people are smart enough to figure that out. I'm not so sure that the blacks are. Maybe a few of them are, but not enough to make a difference.
I mean, you can't. No one can point to a country around the world that is black run, black majority, that is not a country that is, you know, rife with corruption and crime and violence and so on and so forth. And, you know, blacks celebrated when Rhodesia became Zimbabwe, and, you know, Rhodesia was a very decent country at one time. Zimbabwe, I mean, I wouldn't set foot there if, you know, you paid me all the money in the world. And, you know, we look to South Africa as well. I mean, look what has happened there to that once thriving country, and what's happened to the white people down in South Africa, and the butchering and the slaughtering that goes on. I mean, what we're faced with here is really a microcosm in those two countries, and those are just two that I mentioned, but really a microcosm, maybe South Africa more than Rhodesia, I don't know, but or now it's called Zimbabwe, but really it's a microcosm of we're staring down the barrel of a gun with a future that looks very, very much like those two countries I mentioned. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree. I think that what has happened in Rhodesia and in South Africa is a warning. It's a warning to white people that if you let your country turn into a multiracial feeding and breeding zone, and that is, we're well on our way to doing that now, and we're intimidated into not opposing it, we're going to be looking at open killing of white people. We already have prosecution of white people who stand up for themselves and try to defend themselves. And we have those who murder white people who have a racial motive get off very light. And why? Because the racial composition of the juries is changing. The racial composition of the police force is changing. The racial composition of the people who write the laws is changing. And guess what? Not only do they instinctively not like you because you're white, because that's the way races are, but they also have been incited to hate you more than ever by the Jewish media. They have been incited to hate you with a burning purple passion. And that does not bode well for the future of our children in this country. We need our own country. We need our white countries back, our nice, safe, progressive white countries, and make our own laws and control our own media. You know, if we had our own media, that ongoing genocide in South Africa would be on every network newscast every night, 20, maybe even 24/7 on the news networks, until something was done to save those white people in South Africa.
This program has been edited for broadcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time for part 3 of this interview, right here on American Dissident Voices.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, 1 beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, antisocial doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people, and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.